style. You are number one on my chart.
Hey, watch out now. My name is Eric Donaldson. Yes, man, listen up. When I am in Montreal, I listen to CKUT 90.3 FM. All right. Yeah, yeah.
Anything Goes, we bring you the exclusive look at Melania and Donald Trump. Today, we bring you to Mar-a-Lago, the Winter White House, or as some people call it, the House of Whites. We bring you to their pre-Valentine's Day dinner. We go now to our reporter, Thomas.
Thomas here from CKUT. I'm here at Mar-a-Lago, and I can see live in the restaurant Trump and Melania all ready for their romantic soiree.
Melania, it has been so nice having you by my side, always there, supporting me. I feel like Obama, and you're my Michelle, my amazing public speaker. You always did say that you would remain with me no matter what, and you have, because your word is your bond.
Oh, Trump, how could you ever doubt me? You are my one and only love.
You're my first, no second, no third, no Ivanka counts. Oh, fourth. You are my one-fourth love.
Oh, please, Trump, don't be so kind.
Later at dinner.
How are you enjoying your filet mignon with fries and a double deluxe venison loin?
It's so good, and I'm so hungry. I feel like I can have thirds.
Ah, Trump, your hunger is almost as big as your ego and your number of bankruptcies, but your hands still have a way to go.
That's all from here. Back to you, Matthew.
Thank you very much, Thomas. Now stay tuned on 90.3 FM and Anything Goes, the show for kids, by kids, all kids radio. While we present to you a chocolate quiz, our reporters' love for chocolate and their opinions on Valentine's Day, the breaking news story of the missing chocolate, the allergy alert, and relationships in love. Stay tuned for more juicy fake news with real leaks, or as they say, alternative facts.
Good morning and welcome to So You Think You're Smart. This week's topic, chocolate. I'm your amazingly smart host, Bram. Here are three contestants, Matthew, Thomas, and Andrew. First question, Matthew. When was the first Mars bar manufactured? And this is multiple choice. Number one, 1932. Number two, 1935. Number three, 1943. And number four, 1950.
1943.
Wrong. The answer was 1932. Good try, though. Next question for Thomas. Come up to the mic. True or false? During the Revolutionary War, the soldiers were paid in chocolate.
False.
Wrong. It is true. Question for Andrew. There is a fourth type of chocolate. Is it polka dot chocolate, midnight chocolate, or blonde chocolate?
Blonde chocolate?
Correct! Ding, ding, ding. True or false? The first ever chocolate bar was invented by John Late.
True?
False.
Dang it!
It was invented by Joseph Fry in 1847.
How am I supposed to know that?
Question for Thomas. German chocolate cake came from Canada, the United States, Germany, or none of the above?
None of the above.
Wrong. It was the United States. It was named for the chocolate maker Samuel German. Strange name, huh?
Yes.
That's what I thought. And the last question for Andrew. In 1947, what was the price of a chocolate bar? This is multiple choice. Number one, 22 to 25 cents. Number two, 12 to 16 cents. Number three, 5 to 8 cents. Or number four, 29 to 32 cents.
5 to 8 cents?
Correct! Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah!
And fun fact, in 1947, Canadian kids went on strike and boycotted chocolate after the price of chocolate bars increased by a few cents. And our winner is... Matthew and Thomas both have 0 points, and Andrew has 2 points, ergo the winner!
Yeah!
Thank you for listening and playing along with So You Think You're Smart. I'm your amazingly smart host, Graham. See you next time!
My opinions on Valentine's Day by Matthew Homa. I personally enjoy Valentine's Day. The holiday is based off the history of St. Valentine. He was a Roman priest living around 226 CE who married couples. This went against the emperor's will, and unfortunately, he was beheaded on the 14th of February. Because he married couples together, we commemorate the day, the 14th of February, as St. Valentine's Day, the holiday and festival of love. That's why I really like the holiday of Valentine's Day, because it's based off love. After all, St. Valentine's Day is a day when we acknowledge our loved ones and show our care for them. It's a day with honorable intentions. Valentine's Day is the kind of day where we can all get together and celebrate each other, no matter our religion, gender, age, or any other things that normally keep people apart in this world. It is a type of celebration without boundaries. You don't have to be a part of a certain religion to enjoy it, one that can encompass everyone and can be special for everyone. Some people tend to ignore Valentine's Day or forget about it, but I personally am fine with the idea of Valentine's Day. I don't really celebrate it very much, but it's not like I ignore it. I find that all we do on this day, giving people chocolates, flowers, and everything else we do for people, is a very honorable thing that really shows our care for people. It brings people together, people of this world, as a united nation, a united family, a united world even, where boundaries don't exist. It's a day solely for the acknowledgement and showing of our care and acceptance of others. So even if some people look at this day as a day with no basis apart from love and care, something that we, in their opinion, should do every day, I think that we should use it to bring people together, and especially not ban people out, but to accept everyone, even if they aren't family. I'm Matthew Homa, and that was my opinion on Valentine's Day.
Love of Chocolate by Thomas Bachman. If you don't love chocolate, there is likely something wrong with your mind. I adore chocolate. Chocolate can come in many delicious forms. A chocolate bar, a melt-in-your-mouth chocolate ball, a delicious chocolate cake, refreshing chocolate ice cream, a nice cold glass of chocolate milk, or a warm, delightful cup of hot chocolate with marshmallows on a cold winter's day. Whatever shape or form it comes in, chocolate is a wonderful treat. In fact, I believe that a day is not complete without a bit of chocolate. Especially in our cold Canadian winters, there's nothing like a good mug of hot chocolate to warm yourself from the inside out. A bit of whipped cream and cinnamon sprinkled on top transform hot chocolate from a tasty treat to a gourmet sweet. Another of my most favorite forms of chocolate is a scrumptious chocolate bar, the crunchy kind, with nuts, or dark chocolate, probably my favorite. Milk chocolate is also right up there. Oh, the delight of popping a piece of chocolate into my mouth. I could go on and on, maybe for hours, even days, going into detail about how much I adore chocolate. I do know some people who don't like chocolate. Why? I really do not get it. I cannot even fathom how someone could even say the words "I don't like" and "chocolate" together. In my opinion, it's only natural for humans to love chocolate. I feasted upon heart-shaped Valentine's Day chocolates on February 14th. That was my piece on how I love chocolate. Hope you enjoyed Valentine's Day chocolate, everyone.
It's
It's Anything Goes, the show written by kids, for kids, all kids radio.
On CKUT 90.3 FM.
Hello, my name is Andrew Hazen, and this is my Valentine's Day story. Once upon a time, a woman named Leslie was with her boyfriend, Tom. Tom gave her a big heart-shaped box of chocolates and said, "This big heart box represents my big heart for you." Later, when Tom left, Leslie opened the big heart box. All was normal in the box of chocolates until Leslie noticed a missing chocolate in the box. At the sight of this, she had a heart attack from shock later that day. "So, doctor," said Tom, "how did she die?" "She died at the sight of a missing chocolate," said the doctor. "No," cried Tom.
Today we will be playing another episode of Would You Rather with Chloe, Massimo, and Morgan. Our first question is, if you were stranded on a deserted island, would you wish for A, a little boat that isn't that fancy that'll bring you home in 5 hours, or B, take a first-class ship with 24/7 service but will take you home in 1 month?
I would probably pick number B because it's kind of like saying you're going on a cruise, but it's taking you home in a fun way.
I'd go with B, too, because it is practically a one-month free cruise after staying on a hopefully very nice deserted island.
Next, if you were going to Hogwarts, would you rather bring A, an owl, B, a toad, or C, a cat?
I would probably bring an owl because they're, like, interesting creatures, and they're not really, like, everyday pets. Not that there's nothing wrong with everyday pets, but, yeah.
I'd go with an owl because, as the Greeks believed with Athena, it was a sign of wisdom. And I think to get in Hogwarts, you kind of have to know a little bit about wisdom.
That's true.
Number three, would you rather eat chunky milk or spinach smoothie?
I would drink spinach smoothie because it's actually healthy for you. Like, yeah, it might must taste bitter, but it's not like it'll make you throw up like chunky milk.
I'd go with spinach smoothie because for me, chunky milk is horrible and spinach smoothie is still horrible, but not as bad.
Would you rather win A, an Olympic gold medal, or B, a Nobel Prize?
I'd probably win an Olympic gold medal because I think I'd have a better chance at sports than science.
I would rather get a Nobel Prize because some scientists who have won it have said that getting it and walking across the stage can add 10 days to your lifespan.
Is that true?
It speaks of the gratitude, stuff like that, and like you feel like 10 days better.
I didn't know that. Oh.
That sounds really weird. Would you rather win A, an Oscar, or B, a Grammy?
I'd probably like to win an Oscar because I'm more into acting, and I can't really sing, so yeah.
I would rather have the Oscar and then instantly give it to Leonardo DiCaprio because he really deserves one by now, and that's just my opinion.
Okay. Six, would you rather be A, a valet, or B, a butler?
I'd rather be a butler because you do more stuff for the wealthy person than just dressing them in clothes, like a little Barbie doll or something.
I would rather be a valet because it has much less stress than a butler does. And overall, I think I do it better.
Number seven, would you rather have A, a unicorn, or B, a Pegasus?
A unicorn, because unicorns are more magical.
For me, this is an easy question. I would go for unicorn. Some people may say that, oh, but a Pegasus can fly. I would argue that unicorns can use the magic found in their horn to fly themselves. So, unicorn.
Eight, would you rather have
A, a hippogriff, or B, a house elf?
I'd pick a hippogriff because they could fly and they can be like your own little pet and you can teach them things to do.
I would rather have a house elf and then name it Dobby, so every day when I saw it, I would cry.
Explain why you'd want to name it Dobby.
Because in the final book, Dobby dies, and that's always scarred me for life. So I'd need a second Dobby.
So tragic.
That's all for this episode, folks. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Emily. It is now 9:30 p.m. and I'm in my room right now after a very bad incident. You see, both my mom and my aunt were in the Little Miss Buttercup pageant. I know, doesn't the title want to make you barf? Well, it does on me. And my mom, being my mom, put me in the pageant without asking me first. She says it's a tradition, more like a tragedy to me. I really didn't want to do it, but my mom says if I don't do it, I can't try out for the soccer team. I want to be on the team so bad, so I said, fine, I'll do the pageant, but I'm not going to like it. So the day of the first rehearsal, I went with my mom, and of course, the whole place stunk with hairspray. I could barely breathe in here, I told my mom. And then she shot me a look that said, stop complaining. So I just stayed put. I know all the girls there wanted to be in the pageant, but imagine all the stress their moms were putting them through. They looked like Barbie dolls. And then the Queen Barbie doll herself walked in with her mother, Sarah Deli. You probably can tell already, I hate Sarah. And I can tell she hates me. But she acts like she doesn't. When she saw me, she shot me a look that said, what the heck is she doing here? But instead she walked up to me and said, Em, what are you doing here? And in my head I said, okay, no one calls me Em except my family and my actual friends, Queen Barbie. It's a good thing I said that in my head, because Sarah's mom's and she has anger issues. She never shows it, though, so it's kind of hard to believe. At break time, while the moms talked, all of us talked. Wow, said Sarah, I never knew you were into pageants. Yeah, I replied. Well, good luck beating her, some redhead girl said. She's won 5 pageants in a row. The night of the pageant was getting closer. My mom picked up the worst dress ever. Picture the ugliest dress and multiply it by 2. I hate dresses that are puffy and have puffy shoulders, a huge bow on the waist, and one I have to wear on my head. My head! And then the night came. Let's get this over with, I said in the car on the way to the pageant. You'll do great, said my mom. Or my grandma. I couldn't tell because my dress was so puffy that when I sat down, it went up to my head. I know you changed in the dressing room, but I wanted to change at home because I'd spend more time in the dressing room with the bad hairspray smell. For the talent competition, Mom is making me sing this stupid little old classical song. She thinks that since I took singing class once when I was 4, that I can sing. I am nowhere near an okay singer, but I had an idea. There was a lot of different talents, dancing, poetry, instruments, and Sarah doing the same thing every year, gymnastics. No wonder she wins every year. She's like a rubber band. And then it was my turn. My mom said, if you forget a line, just keep going, kiddo. I won't need to, I said. Huh? Mom asked. And then I grabbed the soccer ball on the table. Mom tried to stop me, but I was already on stage. Hello, Emily, the guy in the tux said. What are you performing today? I hid the soccer ball behind my back. It's a surprise, I spoke. And then I threw the ball in the air and started kicking the ball around and doing the best I know about soccer. When I was done, everyone clapped. As I walked to backstage, I thought my mom was going to be full of rage, but instead she was so surprised. It was a good thing that the dress I wore for the talent competition wasn't as big as the first one. I wouldn't even be able to lift my leg all the way. And finally, it was time to announce the winner of the pageant. And guess what? Not Sarah, and definitely not me. Well, I don't know her name. I didn't really listen to the rest of the girls when we talked that day. Well, so she won. Who knew? Well, the judges did. But wow, the first time Sarah lost. I remember when I said that Sarah had anger issues? Well, tonight, who showed it pretty well. Let's just say her mom has to pay for a new stage. And then I went home, and that brings us here. So there you have it. Don't enter a beauty pageant. And if you do, don't use a lot of hairspray like Sarah did. The end.
It's Anything Goes, the show written by kids, for kids, all kids radio.
On CKUT 90.3 FM.
Love by Bram. In my opinion, there are three kinds of love: loving a person, loving a place, or loving a thing. For example, I would love to travel to Japan when I'm older. Sometimes, however, love can be complicated when you do the wrong thing. Sometimes it might not even be your fault. Like in TV shows or movies, when someone says, "It's me and not you," I never understand what they mean. I think it means it's their mistake and not the other person's mistake, or it could mean that it's their problem and it's not the other person's problem. Anyway, love is a total confuse fest. One moment someone's your best friend, and the next moment you will never want to see them again. That was Love by Bram.
Years and you'd think they'd at least remember your name. On my first day of kindergarten, I cried and clung onto my dad's leg for a good 30 minutes. Not even an hour later, I had already found my group of friends for 5 years straight. Making friends has never been hard for me. Being the natural ambivert I am, people always seem to flock to me as if I'm the piece of bread and they're the ravenous pigeons. The memories that were crafted with my friends and foes etched into my brain for eternity. Like the time I went out for sushi with my friend Chloe. I choked on seaweed and ended up puking. Or the time at my friend Rachel's sleepover, my friend Lauren and I were arguing. Well, not really, it was more of yelling between giggles over who should fix the fort we had made to sleep under. She ended up getting on a chair to fix it, and I ended up pulling her down, causing her to fall and bash her head on a piece of metal, since Rachel's mom was doing renovations. There's also the time during a winter lunch recess where my friends Adam and Shelby were playing with sticks. Sticks make great fake swords, especially the short, fat ones that sort of resemble dog poop. You can clearly see the rookie mistake I made. Until the fateful last day of school, we all cried, wrote on each other's shirts, and made promises to keep in touch. Then summer came where I'd received zero calls, zero texts, and no waves back when we crossed paths. This was partially my fault. I never really left the house that summer and stayed in my fan-cooled fortress of solitude. Once the dreadfully boring and long summer was over, we all made our way through grade 7. I only saw one friend of mine who wrote, "You'll always be a sister to me," in my yearbook. We only saw each other twice. That's when it hit me. They never wanted to see me again. Chloe was too grossed out by my puke. Lauren was still mad about her fall. And Adam and Shelby thought I was an idiot with terrible vision. Grade 7 passed and I had new friends, new people who possibly knew me better, and maybe even laughed a little hard at my jokes. It felt nice. But the thought of my old friends forgetting about me still lingers at the back of my mind. In the end, I realized maybe these little memories were only etched deeply in my mind. Maybe Lauren did forget about her fall, and she got a new bubble of friends who don't injure her head. Maybe Chloe forgot about my near-death experience and is hanging around people who are actually able to eat sushi. Friends come and go, and people shouldn't forever feel forgotten because some old friend who you haven't seen in a few years forgot you. Life goes on, but you can still hold on to your memories.
Dear Diary, sometimes I feel that people on our planet serve a meaningful purpose, and sometimes I feel that they are just here for no good reason. Most of the time, I feel like I'm just taking up precious space. I find I'm not good at many things, and I'm wondering if I'm taking the place of someone who can contribute something positive to our society. Or maybe I have a hidden talent that'll save the world from doom.
Just kidding, of course. However, I honestly feel we should all find our place in the world, or else we are just harming the Earth by polluting it. Maybe I don't actually belong here. Sometimes, I think there must be a planet of misfit people somewhere in a nearby galaxy. But then again, I think there must be some reason for me to be here. My new goal in life is to figure out how I can make the Earth a better place. It doesn't make any sense that I'm just here. I might only figure out my purpose when I'm 90, but I don't believe we're here for no reason. Somewhere in this world, I'm needed, and I hope to find out where. But if I think hard about it, I think I know my purpose, and it's this. I am already helping society by being myself and being the best person I can be. I will find my place. Sincerely, Millie. This diary entry was written by Chloe Ligoche.
It's Anything Goes, the show written by kids, for kids, all kids radio.
On CKUT 90.3 FM.
We gave you the inside scoop on Donald and Melania, and now we're telling you all about the meeting of Justin Trudeau and Donald Trump
behind the scenes. Here's their first handshake.
Put it there, Trudeau.
I'd rather not.
Do you really want to look bad on public television?
No, I guess.
Okay, then. Okay. How about we bring this back there, okay? You'd be fine with that. I mean, you are Canadian, aren't you, Joe?
It's actually Justin.
Ah, Joe Smo. Canadians don't argue, do they?
All right, then.
That is all our limited news coverage could get, but wow! Who knew those tiny hands could grip it like that? That's all for today's program. Thank you for tuning in to CKUT 90.3 FM and our show Anything Goes, the show for kids, by kids, all kids radio. A quick shout-out to all of our reporters, Thomas Backman, Matthew Homa, Andrew Hazen, and Bram Lachman-Minkoff. The show was produced by Sarah Daye, technical production by Tawa Manene Tardif. Anything Goes, we'll see you next month on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca.
Chocolate could come in many delicious forms.
Yes. Okay. Read the actual story this time.
Okay. Okay, is this good?
Oh, I said that at the beginning.
Thank you for listening and playing along with So You Think You're Smart. In your amazingly smart host, Bram. See you next time.
He's not British.
Oh.
Okay.
Thank you for tuning in to CKUT 90. Thank you for tuning in to CKUT 90. Thank you for tuning in to CKUT 90.3 FM and our show Anything Goes. Technical production by Tao Manene Turtle.
Great.
Robot clap is like do 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 do. We'll be right back.
C'est KUD 90.3 samedi midi.